Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I just think we have a chronological order on how we're going to do things. We know we don't have to do that until May. So right now, that's just our focus. You're talking about the fifth-year option. Our focus is on more free agency in the combine than that right now.
Middays on the Score.
I think you have the bandwidth to try to figure out all of it. So you can't talk about that. And then you say, well, it's a difficult time to talk about people because it's just a difficult time. It's collaboration. We all work together. It's a multitude of factors.
It's hilarious to me that a front office in any sport that prides itself on being able to do two things at once, three things at once, four things at once, when they get to the media, can't talk about two or three or four things at once. It's amazing to me that the ability to manage all these different things exists, and that's the reason you get hired. But talking about all those things at once would be absolutely world-ending for them.
See, I would go back to Matt Nagy, by the way. And after his boss just endorsed the quarterback by saying he's accurate, he can process,
and that he likes the trajectory he's on.
Yes. Then how does that inform Nagy's earlier comments that he thinks his quarterback has to master identifying coverages?
Maybe he did it. You know, maybe at some point last month, he just became a master of coverages. He got his certification. He sent away for it by mail, got it, received it, and he's
now... Switch got flipped, and all of a sudden it's all set?
We're all good to go. Maybe we're just not looking at that possibility.
And it's critical to find out about the reps. You can't say we need competition at every position. We got to create competition. We believe in Mitch. He knows he needs to be better. He can process. He's accurate. Compares him to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
We've got to disconnect here. Are you going to structure reps to create a competition, or are you going to have a declared starting quarterback?
Well, the reps will be determined by whatever quarterback buys their line over the offseason, right? And in free agency.
And what they're saying privately as opposed to what they're saying publicly.
Yeah.
Are they saying privately, yeah, here's a great chance to beat this bum out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get in here and do this.
Yeah, we can't come out and say it right away, but you know, we got to keep this kid around in the fifth year option. We don't know what's going on with the CBA, but come on through and maybe you can win yourself a job.
In Racine, it's Patrick. He's on the Score.
Hey, thanks, and good morning for having me. My comment is just about Mitch Trubisky. I mean, from the jump, man, I don't think they should have got this guy. The man hadn't even been in the league that long in college. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, well, that's academic at this point. Whether or not they should have... We're beyond whether or not they should have taken him.
Right, but my feeling about him, I think he's a bum, personally, and I think...
What do you think about what do you think about what Ryan Pace said today? We're not sort of just taking opinions.
I'm gonna be honest with you, sir. I'm gonna be honest with you. I hadn't listened to the press conference, so I'm just gonna try to piggyback on some of the things that you guys were touching base on. I never really listened to it.
Okay, well thank you. But the news of today is what the general manager is talking about regarding his team and what the coach is going to say in just a few minutes.
No, but I love that everybody who wanted to chime in and just say Trubisky's a bum kind of pop their head out of the...
Hello?
Today's the day? Yeah. We get to say it again? All right, cool. Let me call up. He's got seven other phone numbers to call and let everybody know.
Right. We're just third on the list. Yeah. I think it was
Grandma. Got to call Grandma first, let her know that Trubisky's a bum, and then got to call the old man, and then it's us. So we're happy to be third.
Yeah, I wonder if Ryan Pace understands just how maddening it is to have this guy compared to Drew Brees. When Drew Brees is about to start his 20th year in the NFL as a kick down the door Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion. And you're telling me that this development mirrors that somehow you're squinting at this or you're looking at this and you're seeing something that resembles that because that's where you happen to have been before you came to the Bears. That bugs me.
Drew Brees has been so good that meh season that definitely had an injury in it, right? But also involves him being, you know, 55 years old. That season doesn't matter so much for the Saints because of the entire body of work, what he's put together, that's engendered all kinds of trust, and he's back, no doubt about it. And I would bet that very few Saints fans have any worry whatsoever about giving Drew Brees another roll of the dice. It may not work out. He could be over the hill. Father time comes for everybody. But he's absolutely earned another roll of the dice. And that's the guy you keep comparing your quarterback to, the guy who your own coach was just kind of hoping could figure out how to read some coverages.
The reason why we're hammering the fifth-year option is because that's what they do, not what they say. That's a concrete statement of belief, especially if, like you say, a new CBA could potentially grandfather in a full guarantee of $24 million. That's even with injury based on what's being negotiated now.
From what we understand, yeah.
That will tell us if all this stuff, all of this talk about we believe in Mitch, and saying that he's going to be the starting quarterback. And I think it was Adam Hoge that made notice. It said, look, this is the second time you've said this. Mm-hmm. And he sort of forced him to go strong with that. You know, what do you like about him, that until they actually exercise the option, we have to understand that commitment may not be as real as he's saying.
Yeah, that's got to be, I would imagine, if you're calling up and letting us know that you missed the press conference, but also think Trubisky's a bum, that's got to be your hope, right?
I don't really know what any of the news is today or what
I've been listening.
I don't know what we're yelling about, but I need to call and tell you I think Trubisky sucks.
I really do.
If you're just joining us, the first call did give us two separate Trubiskys.
Clear as a bell. Yep. Just really made me feel like it's Bears Monday all over again, which I love. That has to be the hope, right? The fact that they haven't exercised a fifth-year option, whether it's because of legalese, cross T's and dotted J's in the CBA, or whether it's actually their belief in the quarterback, okay, that has to be something that you see a little daylight in.
This segment brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. Make a resolution to lose weight with Nutrisystem for Men, just like Mully from The Morning Show, who lost some weight over the past 3 months. Join today. When you buy your first month of food, you get a month absolutely free. Go to Nutrisystem.com/radio to get started. West Side, Don, welcome to The Score.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, what's up?
Okay, yeah, so I was going to just say, like, he didn't seem too committed to Trubisky. I mean, he sidestepped a lot of the questions saying that, you know, they're creating competition at every position and saying that quarterback is no different.
That's what he said.
As far as the fifth-year option thing, he said he's saying May. But then he also, you know, was just talking gibberish when he said that his strength is accuracy and all that. So, I mean, as shady as Pace is turning out to be, I will give him credit. He didn't fully commit to Trubisky. I hope that, like you guys were saying, that maybe he was just being vague on purpose. Maybe it's a calculated thing by him being vague. But I didn't take from that conference that they weren't going to bring in any quarterback. Now, if they bring in some, you know, just anybody off the street, then we know, okay, well, that's just a token player that they're bringing in to keep everybody off their backs. But I just hope they do the right thing, man. I mean, it'd be a shame to waste this window and waste this defense.
What's the right thing?
The right thing would be to bring in somebody who can actually challenge for their starting spot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you.
We're going to take a brief time out, and the moment Matt Nagy starts talking for the Combine, we'll bring it to you live here on Bernstein and McKnight.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Score.
Coach Nagy!
Here he is, ready to go. You've got Bernstein and McKnight, and this Matt Nagy press conference on the Score is presented by your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers.
All right, everybody doing good? All right, good. Good to see y'all. I'll start off a little bit talking about some of the staff changes that we made since the last time that we saw each other in Chicago. You know, we're excited about them. It's never an easy time at the end of the year when we meet and go through those difficult decisions, but it's about looking forward. And I think, you know, starting off with Bill Lazor, it's been exciting in the last couple of weeks being able to go through the scheme eval and go through some things and get some ideas and his background of where he's been at as a coordinator and his expertise with that. You know, we have a relationship that goes back several years, so that part was good. John DeFilippo, again, we go the whole way back to college. We were quarterbacks against each other and competed, and him coming in here, I have a lot of respect for him as a quarterback coach. Moving Dave Ragone to pass game coordinator is, I think, really, really good for Dave and his growth in this league. I'm big on having guys grow through us, and so that'll be a unique opportunity for him. Clancy Barone coming in as tight ends coach, and then Juan Castilla, who I was with in Philadelphia. So excited about those. We can talk more in depth later, but I just wanted to update y'all from last time that we talked here in Chicago. So you see a lot of these teams that are moving into these different types of positions with coordinator roles and expanding in some of that. For us, we're still kind of working through that. The one thing that I really like is, people say, is there too many cooks in the kitchen and all that? I couldn't disagree with that more. I think that for us, there's a lot of great ideas. For me as a head coach, what I'm trying to do is I want to become the best possible head coach I can be. And by doing that, having guys around me that I can delegate and give things to is important. So whether we don't have the run game coordinator title, but we have guys in Juan Castillo, Clancy Barone has a great background in that. Bill Lazor can oversee really everything. So, we're all having great ideas. John DeFilippo is a coordinator. So I'm just trying to use all of those and balance how that works together. But I'm doing a lot of listening, and I think now's the time to do that so we can collaborate, figure out what went wrong last year, and let's fix it. Let's be about solutions. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be calling the plays, and we do have a lot of guys that have called plays, and so for me, y'all don't get to see it because you're not in the meetings with us, but a lot of times we'll talk through, why would you make this call or that call, and that's growth in myself too as a play caller. I learned a lot last year in so many different ways on and off the field as a head coach. I learned a lot as a play caller with players, how they work, with scheme, with coaches, and so I'm at a
have a bit of an audio drop-off that is happening on their end, and we had it jacked all the way up, but that's the best
redlined.
We can do. Yeah, completely redlined. So we're looking to get an alternative feed of Matt Nagy. The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Does your youth hockey team want to play in front of thousands of fans? Make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Visit chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn more.
So we're early on in the Matt Nagy press conference from the Combine, and like Dan told you, we're going to get you back to that as soon as we've cleaned up the audio issue on their end of things in Indy. But one of the things that Nagy mentioned right off the top was that we don't have a run game coordinator necessarily, but he did mention, and so did Ryan Pace, that both Juan Castillo and Clancy Barone are well-versed in that and will probably hold some of those responsibilities too. I guess the follow-up question I hope we'll hear, and I assume we will, is why not give a title like that? I mean, if you have pass game coordinator that's gotten bestowed on Dave Ragone, why not move down the road if you're already mentioning those guys in terms of being in charge of that side of
you
the offense?
You know the answer
portion
to that.
Of the offense. I would believe that goes to the old deflector shield policy, doesn't it?
Also goes to the, I'm not that interested in running.
I think that matters too.
Right?
That matters too. Sure. I think it's interesting to hear Nagy and his, I don't know, kind of just he seems pumped, right? I mean, Ryan Pace was one thing, just kind of monotone through some of the answers, but Ryan Pace seems invigorated by some of the coaching changes that he, you know, only needed an hour and a half or 2 hours to make after their postseason press conference and then actually having that news given out in terms of the coaching changes.
Or the fact that they don't even know how these coaches are going to work together. I mean, I know it's an honest answer, but they've got a room full of guys and a room full of ideas, and they sit around in meetings and talk about things. They handed out a bunch of titles, but it's still not clear how it's all going to work together. He used the term working through it. We've got a lot of great ideas.
You know, I'm okay with figuring out how things work. I like the idea. This is one instance where, you know, the NFL is this, you know, we say it all the time, kind of a copycat league. More and more teams have added more and more coaches to the mix. And sure, you get close to, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen and whose voice goes to what player, all that kind of stuff. But more teams are doing this. There's no cap on the number of coaches you can have. There's no cap on the money you spend on coaches either. So I'm cool with following league trends in this way and bringing in coaches under different titles and, you know, maybe differentiating or maybe even diluting some responsibility some and giving Matt Nagy the ability to delegate like he talked about he wants to have. If you don't have your process set for those coaches quite yet, I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah, but the nebulousness has not served this offensive coaching staff well because it gets back to this – rather than calling plays, rather than having an offense, it's an aggregation. Mm-hmm. There's something piecemeal and scatterbrained about it that I think contributes to the problems that he's had during games of calling the game in front of him. If all you have it, who's, you've got to know who's communicating with whom at which time on those headsets. It's got to be down to a science. You're in this year, you're in this year. I care what you think, I care what you think. Otherwise, all you have is a bunch of guys talking
sure.
about what plays they could call.
I get that. I guess I'm just open to the possibility that a number of coaches can come up with some sort of, whether it's like a guiding philosophy or whether it's you know, a motto, like a guiding statement, right? It's like, here's what we do on the offense. And in prior years and in NFL's past, that's been dictated by the head coach or by the offensive coordinator. And that man, that person embodies the philosophy of the offense. I think it's possible that a number of coaches come up with that philosophy, that statement, and then that can guide your offense. But I get it. I mean, it's harder to do. That does kind of lead to perhaps a little bit of a scatterbrained approach, and I think that's what we saw last year. Listen, we talked with Sage each and every Tuesday during Bear season. Sage was belaboring the point that this offense looked like an assortment of plays that didn't have this kind of guiding philosophy behind it. It didn't have a connected tissue that let this play call to this play call. You're going to see this in the first quarter so that it sets up something like this in the third quarter. Sage didn't see that at all. I think that that can come out of a number of coaches working together, but that is a harder process. Still, you've had it happen in other offenses already in the NFL over the last 2-3 seasons.
And Matt Nagy has mentioned, and when asked about Mitch Trubisky, the quote is, he has to get on the film and really hammer through what he's looking at. All right. Well, you just had the GMs praise his ability to process and his accuracy. This is Nagy remaining on brand, saying hammer through what he's looking at. It gets back to, and I'm happy to hear that from him. What do you see? What is this? What is in front of you?
I guess he's saying that, I guess he's saying if he doesn't have it innately, he's got to do more work to figure it out. That if Mitch Trubisky isn't this, you know, kind of a savant when it comes to understanding coverages, which some quarterbacks are, you hear stories of kids coming up from, you know, from college systems that helped you diagnose defensive schemes. If he doesn't have that in him already, then he's just got to do the work to figure it out.
Believe and what does that say about his trajectory? That where Pace likes his trajectory. How can you like his trajectory if going into year four, he has to get on the film and really hammer through what he's looking at in the words of your head coach?
The answer to that is something that Mitch Trubisky has said since day one, that he's a reps guy, that he just needs to do it more often. Believing that is one thing, but all of those answers create one opinion on that quarterback, on what he is, how he learns, and how he performs. I don't agree with it, but that's the picture you're being painted here by both by GM, by head coach, and by the guy himself, by number 10 himself, that you have a guy who learns by doing. And unfortunately, it's not true that he doesn't make the same mistake twice. He absolutely does, but he believes, his coach believes, his GM believes that by working through the issues at hand, by just seeing it, he'll learn and figure it out.
And what flies in the face of that is the number of times after a game where Mitchell Trubisky will overthrow somebody by 6 yards and then say, well, I was ripping that in practice all week.
6 yards would be close.
Saying, you know, we loved that play and I had it all week and I was ripping that in practice. Because then you're not a reps guy. Then you're a reps guy until it matters in the moment. So when we said going in, we started the show that there was going to be some disconnect between the comments from the general manager and potentially the comments from the head coach. I think we're seeing it. I think when he says he's got to get on the film and really hammer through what he's looking at, that is his way of saying he's not there yet.
It's not natural. It's not a natural thing for him to do. And I think you see with, you know, I'll be the guy who compares him to the other quarterbacks in his draft class because I think it is fair. With Mahomes, with Watson, it's a little more natural. That playmaking ability, whether it comes from necessarily dissecting the defense in front of you or just understanding what you can and can't do, obviously that happened a little bit quicker for those two guys. It hasn't happened for Mitch, probably for Ryan Pace's favorite phrase, a multitude of reasons. But the fact that they've ruled out it could be his own accuracy and his own ability to read the defense is troublesome for me. And I think it's troublesome for a lot of Bears fans. Patrick Finley has sometimes just tweeted this. He's there at the Matt Nagy press conference, and we're efforting to get that audio back to you. They've had an issue over in Indy. We've got our best on it. Patrick Finley writes, does Matt Nagy want Mitch Trubisky to feel like someone could take his starting job? The answer was, I want everyone to feel that way. That's from Matt Nagy.
Well, we'll see. And that, again, he's got to be asked about the distribution of reps. That will determine everything. If you have, because the way most teams work, when they have a declared starter, when there is a default to saying this is the guy, he gets almost all the work. And when you have somebody who's developing like Trubisky, who Ryan Pace believes in to this degree, every rep someone else takes is a lost rep. And that's why you bring in Chase Daniel, yeah, who's not a threat to him. And no matter who you bring in, it doesn't matter until we see how the time is split. Because if that guy doesn't have an opportunity to show that he understands things better, that he's reading things better, that he's more likely to not make a mistake or more likely to make the throw that's supposed to be made, if he doesn't have that chance, this thing is over before it starts. They can decide. They will decide in their pre-practice planning how real this competition is. Otherwise, they're just saying it. They're saying it because it's what coaches should say.
And that's regardless of quarterback in both ways. I mean, let's say the unthinkable happens and Phillip Rivers lands with the Bears, right? Depending on the reps, it may or may not matter, like you're talking about. It's one thing to bring in Phillip Rivers and then give him 50-50 rep split. It's another thing to bring in Case Keenum, mm-hmm, and give him 80% of the reps, you know, or whatever that number is. The quarterback, and I'm glad you brought it up this way, the quarterback matters, sure. The name and the ability, the track record, all that stuff really does matter. But if you're willing to just let him be a clipboard jockey, then it matters a whole hell of a lot less. Because now you're getting into a situation where you're taking whatever quarterback that is, his ability and track record, and just using it to prop up your quarterback room, your quarterback's room, and therefore prop up Mitch because of the things Ryan Pace has said earlier this morning and his belief in him and belief in his accuracy and his agility, his mobility, and his, oh God.
Yeah, the signs that they're sending publicly could be completely different from what they're saying privately as they pursue quarterbacks, as they pursue a trade for Nick Foles or Andy Dalton or any one of these guys that we'll know when that happens about what, when that guy gets there and say, what were you told about your opportunity?
Yeah.
I was told I was going to have a chance to win this job from OTAs.
There's just an easier way to do that. They're making it harder on themselves. There's an easier way to do that. It's being done by Bruce Arians in Tampa. It's being done by Chris Ballard in Indianapolis. And I get that there are different circumstances for those quarterbacks, right? You get Andrew Luck saying goodbye to the game and Jacoby Brissett, who you'd signed to an extension, a two-year deal with some pretty decent money attached to it, is not your anointed quarterback. Jameis Winston has some serious off-field issues and threw 30 interceptions last year. So it gives Bruce Arians a lot of room to say, we don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I like the guy or not. You got Chris Ballard saying this is why we signed Brissett to the deal that we did, so we could make a determination, so we could figure out what's best for us. You got Jim Irsay saying yesterday that they're open to all kinds of opportunities at the quarterback position in Indianapolis, where they seem to be a competent quarterback, you know, 12, 14 games of competent quarterback play away from a damn good shot at a playoff run. There are other ways to do this. They're making it harder on themselves to maneuver this thing. In a year,
yep,
in a historic offseason, with quarterback talent out there for you, they've made it harder for themselves.
That's a completely fair point. If they're true to what they're saying, and unless there's just a complete disconnect between what is going on behind closed doors and what they're saying.
Even if they're not, if they're talking with quarterback, with Case Keenum, they go, well, you've said this publicly, why am I going to trust you? I want more money then. I want more opportunities. I want a promise of reps. I want that option. You said it out loud.
So you're already losing the Case Keenum negotiation?
Maybe.
The segment is brought to you by Door Systems. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR. I can't get past this. This is what is screaming to me right now. Is a general manager praising his quarterback for processing, accuracy, and incremental development. His trajectory.
Yeah.
The head coach is telling you, with no uncertainty, that his quarterback still doesn't know how to watch film or understand how to process, how to use film to help him understand what is in front of his eyes live. Both of those things cannot coexist as true. If entering his fourth year, he doesn't know what he's seeing to the extent that his head coach wants him to know what he's seeing, he can't be pleased with his trajectory.
No.
Right? Those two things cannot be true.
No. I mean, we had it set out before last year's camp that steady incremental progress was the goal. That clearly wasn't reached. And if you're still hammering home this point about he needs to learn how to watch film, he needs to learn how to read coverages, he needs to be a master of deciphering coverages, and oh, by the way, we'd like to increase competition at every spot on the field, then steady incremental progress got thrown out the door. It's done. It's over. It didn't happen. Now you're looking, you are now in a situation where steady incremental progress failed, and you're hoping to hit a home run. That's what this is. Now you got to hit the long ball with Mitch.
It all has to come together right now in this offseason. He's going to have to drill down and understand how to watch film and what he's seeing year four.
You can't be, I mean, will you be satisfied? If you're the Bears front office, are you going to be satisfied enough with a league average type of year from Mitch and what will likely be, you know, steady defensive play? But I think given the fact that you've released two veterans and you've got some spots to work with on defense, I mean, I don't know whether Danny Trevathan, Nick Kwiatkowski are coming back. Prince Amukamara is not. That decision got made. Do you truly believe that this defense, given its issues, is the steadying, difference-making defense that you saw 2 years ago, that you saw last year? Is this the defense that you just ride?
Not if
with an okay offense to a playoff berth, to a playoff win?
Not if Khalil Mack's drop-off at age 28, entering his age 29 season, portends that he's not the difference maker that he once was.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to have defensive playmaking ability affect my decision on quarterback. And that's what it seems like they're setting up. It seems like they're willing to put that kind of game-changing defense and that sort of variable on whether or not Mitch Trubisky's next season, if it's just average, is okay enough.
We have a lot of callers who want to jump in. Look forward to doing that. 312-644-6767. Mark Grody is also going to give us his impressions of what he saw and heard from both Nagy and Pace. That's all coming up. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score. Mark Grody's taking it all in Indianapolis, and we've got Bears thoughts on a day where we're not quite getting any concrete answers as to what's going on. Mark Grody can be followed on Twitter at Mark Grody Sports, because he loves sports.
Because Mark Grody Bears was taken.
He's WSCR's Bears reporter, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What are your headlines, Groats?
Well, yes, and I am the designated sports guy at the sports radio station. First thought of the day, it's still all about the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, and what do you believe and what do you not believe. I think it's very hard to take the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace, at his word when he just completely says that, yes, Mitchell Trubisky is our starting quarterback. There's no doubt in my mind about it. My theory has always been, and it hasn't changed, that Trubisky, probably will be the starting quarterback going into camp, and probably even, if I had to put odds on, I'd say yes, he'll be the starting quarterback on game one. I think he gets three games, and if those three games he still looks like he did last year, and some of what he was 2 years ago as well, then they pull him out for somebody better. So at this point, it's really difficult to know whether or not we take Ryan Pace at his word on the quarterback. The headline from Matt Nagy, at least for me, and I know you guys probably didn't get to hear this because I know that we had some technical difficulties with the feed. I asked Nagy, I said, would you be willing to change your scheme relative to what it was when you walked in here day one and then last year as well, where we all saw him kind of forcing his system on his players? And he said, you know what, yes, I would be willing to change. He said, I've had 2 years now to look at things and maybe think about things differently and fit the scheme to the players' abilities and talents as opposed to forcing things on them. So whether or not he does that, I think that's the question. But at least for him to publicly say, without hesitating, as if he has thought about it, that maybe it is time to, I don't know what you want to use, what phraseology, tone things down, simplify, whatever the case
may
be.
Well, he did it. He did that last year, but he did it grudgingly. When we saw I formation, and what was the comment at some point? Well, I didn't come here to run the I formation, and yet there it was, and he'd run it a couple times a game, almost like, here, you want your I formation? Here's J.P. Holtz, and we're going to run a couple of these, and that was it. That he did it, but it was sort of doing it not wanting to for the right reasons.
Right. Yeah. I always said too, like he came in with a full playbook last year. He started ripping pages out, then he started ripping chapters out. And you never felt like talking to him, like you said, Dan, that it never set well with him. But I think that having done it to some degree last year and them having had the offseason and the meetings that they've already had this year and maybe even seeing the success that other teams had in the playoffs, in the running game, or teams in general that run the football, that maybe he has come to believe that, yes, considering the skill that the Bears have or don't have on offense, that things need to change if he wants to be a successful coach in this league.
Do you think that this was at all involving the new coaches he's brought in? Like, this idea of wanting to or being open to changing the offense? Did somebody start talking to him about it that they just brought in?
Connor, it's funny because we still don't. Just as we didn't know what each coach specifically did, the first couple years under Matt Nagy, maybe we have a better idea of what some of these guys are doing with a passing coordinator and Dave Ragone and DeFilippo being the quarterback's coach. It's hard to tell how much input that they have. I mean, they did address the assistants today. They did say that those guys will all have input, that everybody listens, that we have healthy debates over what's going on. I can tell you that it seems like the guy who has been mentioned the most is DeFilippo, in terms of a voice in the room, in terms of imposing his will a little bit more. And Nagy even said, I don't know if you guys got to this part, that it's as much as they respected Dave Ragone, and that in essence, yes, he did get a promotion to passing coordinator, they said, yeah, but it might be good for Mitchell Trubisky to have a new voice in his ear. And the name that keeps coming back, or the guy that seems to be getting the highest praise, even moreover, more so than Bill Lazor, is John DeFilippo. So we'll see how much input he has and how he comports himself throughout the season when we do get a chance to talk to him.
Is there a reason they don't want to name a running game coordinator? I suspect it's because they don't really like running, but you have a passing game coordinator, and then they sort of spread out the responsibility for the running game on Barone and Castillo.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? Like they never wanted to do that last year, and then we start to find out as guys file out of Hallis Hall, like Harry Heastand last year, that they don't want to say you are responsible for it. I presume it will be Castillo to a large degree. It was Helfrich some last year. This year will be Bill Lazor will be involved too. But that's a great question. I don't know why they're so coy and so covered up over, you know, who actually is running the running game when they proudly present everybody a passing game coordinator when every time, I mean, heck, even when the Bears had their great season 2 years ago, we would talk about the great game and what the defense did and the pick six and how they won a game. And then, like, the last four or five questions, we know you won, but the running game was awful. It was the same thing 2 years ago, same thing last year. And it's hard to know how much presence they put in a coaching room when it comes to the running game. They've never earnestly done it. You know, like I talked about with the potential schematic changes that Nagy would be willing to put in, maybe we get more out of that soon. And just so you guys know, because you guys need a little play-by-play of what's going on here right now, I'm looking out a window, and right behind me coming in is the one and only Andy Reid with his people. So maybe we'll see Matt Nagy interact with him momentarily.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Are there trophies and cheeseburgers?
Cheeseburgers and ice cream, too.
It's pretty amazing because he's just literally walked in with two people. He is the most regular guy, around here. Nobody's really following him. Well, no, now there's a camera on him.
We're talking with Mark Grody here, our Bears beat reporter on 670 The Score. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I want to go back to Ryan Pace's press conference for a moment, if we can, Mark. He didn't really offer any reasons for cutting Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel. He just said, yes, we did it, and it was difficult. Do you know what the reasons were? I mean, if it's just flat money, that's fine, but I don't know why he didn't say so.
Yeah, I think definitely in the case of Prince Amukamara, it was money. It was something that we saw coming at the end of the year. Amukamara was healthy, you remember, at the end of the season, and they did have Kevin Tolliver start and play a lot more. Remember, they were rotating Tolliver and Amukamara. Even in talking to Amukamara on the record and off the record, he kind of knew what was going on. I don't think he necessarily knew as a slam dunk that they were going to release him, but he said something to the effect of, I'm not stupid, you know, yeah. Seeing Tolliver start. Now, the other thing, Connor, is the fact that they did bring in the CFL kid, Trey Roberson, the ISU guy. It's hard to think that he necessarily would be a starter. I don't know. From listening to Pace, I didn't get the feeling that he looks at Tolliver or even Roberson necessarily as a starter on the other side of Fuller, that may be a position where they go out and try to get somebody or draft somebody. As far as Taylor Gabriel is concerned, the one thing I can tell you is that one of the hot spots in this draft, maybe the deepest spot and the most talented spot, is the wide receiver position. So I don't know if they're thinking about that or the fact that they're continuing to develop Javon Wims and Riley Ridley, and they think that those guys are ready to step into that spot. And, you know, maybe even to a lesser degree, you know, Gabriel had some good games. There's no doubt about it. I think it was the Washington game where he had a few touchdowns. He had a couple of really flashy games, but for whatever reason, that connection with Trubisky, the deep game with him, just was never consistent. So, you know, there is depth at the position and there is depth in the draft. So that's the way I look at it.
Mark, we talked a lot about the fifth-year option as it pertains to Mitch Trubisky and the question that got asked to Pace. Should we believe him when he says that a potential new CBA doesn't affect their position on the fifth-year option for Mitch?
I don't know. Like I said, it's so hard to believe anything that he says. I mean, like, I always go back to my starting point for what I believe and don't believe for Ryan Pace is last year when they signed Mike Davis, the running back, and Ryan Pace stood up there and told everybody, yep, we look at Mike Davis as our every down back. Yeah. We think that he could be the guy. And then, of course, they drafted, and you know, we didn't necessarily.
I thought you were going to go back to Kevin White's not hurt.
Yeah, he's still not hurt, by the way. He's fine.
Yeah, he's somewhere flourishing. So that was when I sort of got my awakening as to whether or not to believe anything that Ryan Pace says. I think this might be one of those times where Ryan Pace is, as much as he stands behind Mitchell Trubisky publicly, and maybe it's real for the most part, I think that might be the one thing that he is saying, you know what? We do need to see more still. We're not just going to pick up this option. And I think, it would be silly to think that it couldn't have something to do with the new CBA, which could get done this week in Indianapolis, and the ratification of that and what it might mean for that position and for that option. So, yeah, of course it could have something to do with that, and it could just be a rational thinking general manager as well.
Was Nagy asked about the distribution of quarterback reps between 1 and 2?
That question, no, he was not specifically asked about that. I mean, he talked about, in generalities, what he wants to see from a backup quarterback, and it was nothing insightful. It was everything that you would expect him to say: a team player, a guy who can come in at a moment's notice, a guy who would have the ability to be a starter, all that stuff. But no, nothing on the breakdown of the...
Because that's critical to me. If he says we want Pace says we want competition at every position, all right, then have it. Because if you distribute the reps traditionally between an anointed starter and the other guy, that's not a competition. It's just not. Having a guy behind a guy does not mean he's competing for the job. Distributing reps defines that.
Absolutely, and I promise you, Dan, that's not something we're going to learn until, I was almost at Bourbonnais, until training camp in Lake Forest, when we actually get a chance to see it. And even then, we won't know, because in training camp, typically the backup's going to get a lot of reps anyway, but maybe we get more answers when that time comes. But it's funny because Pace and Nagy, both, man, did they have their generalities going when it came to that competition question. And anytime a specific question was asked of either of them about should there be quarterback competition and what does it mean, they both said there should be competition at every position. We embrace competition everywhere. So to me, that has no meaning, and there's nothing that you could really read into it. So we don't know if there's going to be competition at the quarterback spot. We don't know if that's an earnest answer.
I was just going through my notes in the Ryan Pace press conference and trying to find the things that were concrete, because that's kind of how we started the conversation with you, Mark. One of the things I guess I could find, and I'd like you to check the math if you can, the Bears expect to have 8 picks, is what Ryan Pace said. That would be 2 twos, a compensatory 4, a 5, 2 sixes, and 2 sevens. Is that how you understand it as well?
Yeah, and some of those answers came out right at the very end. So good listening by you, Connor, because, yeah, that was sort of almost put in parentheses right at the end. Oh, by the way, here are the picks. But, yeah, I think your math is correct on that. And obviously the ones to zero in on are going to be those 2 second-round picks, and what they do with them, whether or not they keep them. I think that they will, but it's going to be, I would suspect, a whole lot of offensive linemen, tight ends, who spoke today here at the Combine, possibly. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Those are the 2 picks that we'll zero in on. But, yes, Connor, I think your math is spot on, my friend.
And it stands out, too, that Nagy again mentioned that Mitchell Trubisky, I think the term he used, has to drill down on film to know what he's seeing. Why now? How are we still talking about that? And how is it different from what he said when he took the job and talked about the installation and then the next year talked about the 200 level and graduate level study and all that? Why are we just learning now his film watching or recognition deficiencies?
Well, and it's funny because we also always heard about Trubisky that he needed to spend less time, that he devoted way too much of his life to football, and that he has to get out of the building every once in a while. So that kind of goes against everything that they're saying now, that he has to be, they love using the word obsessed too, that he has to continue to be obsessed with learning his craft and watching film and watching it differently. And it's something that they say every single year. So it's impossible to decipher where specifically his deficiencies may be. But you know how it is. Like every single week, and I was guilty, I don't know if guilty is the right word, but, you know, reporting it that, hey, they had great practices and Trubisky looked great and he seems to really have great command of the playbook. And then come game day, when the speed is just a little bit different and the feelings are a little bit different, it didn't look like that. So sometimes I think that when they talk about, you know, tape and obsession and all that kind of stuff, those are just complete generalities that sound good to say, but they know what's wrong and they're not going to completely tell us where the deficiencies lie.
Mark, appreciate it, man. What's next for you at the combine? What's your next step as Bears beat reporter?
Well, after this, I'm going to wander back in, see what coaches are still speaking. A bunch of coaches going right now, and then the way they set it up down here is they do all the players now in the morning, like bright and early. It used to be like all afternoon. So, yeah, I'm going to go see if there's other coaches and agents in the big room, schmooze a little bit, talk a little bit, and then tomorrow will be offensive linemen. So I'm looking forward to that and getting to know some of these guys and seeing, you know, finding out what guys may or may not be a fit for the Bears, guys that may or may not have already met with the Bears. So that's pretty much the rundown. And then free food is on the docket too, Connor.
Oh, sure. There you go. Thanks, Mark.
Mark Grody, yeah. Thank you. So we're going to get the Matt Nagy sound turned around ASAP.
Absolutely.
In the moment we have that for you fresh. We're going to run it in its entirety, what we missed, because just, you know, the technical problems were on the Bears' end when the feed crapped out there, so we didn't want to bring a substandard audio. We are going to have that for you. We also have a giveaway coming up. A pair of tickets to see the Black Keys, Gary Clark Jr., and the Marcus Kings Band at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on July 25th. We're an extended dance mix today. That's what we call it, because we are also the Lawrence Holmes Show from noon to 2. So still a lot of Bernstein and McKnight to come.
I've got news on a quarterback that has met with the Bears. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.